Let's go with the good, good Father today. Right? We'll talk about the love of the Father and our love for the Father. So, we're going to be over in Luke today. If you got your Bibles, it's going to be about three places, but we're going to be over in Luke 11. It's going to be our main focus over there. Yeah, if you ain't got Bibles, we can have them over there. Somebody left this. I'm kind of liking that. That might be my new Bible marker. So, and I do have my cheaters today, glasses, so let y'all get turned over there.
What was the scripture? I'm sorry.
We're going to be over in Luke 11. And in Luke 11, Jesus had been praying, and he said in a certain place, I don't know where he was at praying, but he's in a certain place, and his disciples come to him, and they asked him, teach us how to pray. Can you teach us how to pray? Like John taught his disciples, it says here, Luke 11, at the beginning. And he said to them, and everybody knows this, and why don't y'all repeat it with me if you know it. Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those
who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and
the
glory.
For thine
is the
kingdom and power and the glory. Okay. In Luke, it stops at temptation. Okay. In Matthew, it goes on and says that last part, which is kind of put in there. Okay. It's not in the original Septuagint. It's not in there, that part. Which is fine. But I don't want to get too much into the prayer because we're going to focus on 5 through 13. But we need to understand, first of all, I want us to understand, why would Jesus, he taught them, he said, this is a prayer. And this prayer is like an example, right? It's not something to do repetitious or anything. We know that, right, as believers. But it's an example. So, but let's look at a couple words out of that. Hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean? Anybody? Why don't y'all help me preach today?
Lifted on high.
Say it again.
Lifted on high.
Okay. Lifted on high. That word in the Greek, it means to make holy. It's like purified, consecrated. And it actually means like mentally sanctifying something. Mentally. It has to do with the... And when I looked that up, it made sense. So in our minds, we need to understand that what he's talking about is we're lifting God above everything else in our mind. And we're sanctifying God through our mind. Setting him apart above everything else. And that's the first thing he's saying that we need to do. How many know that's true? In our life, we need to make him priority, don't we? Above our families, above our children, above our jobs, above everything else. So, we see that as the beginning of the prayer, Father. And as we do that, and we learn and put him first, what happens? We come into a closer relationship with him. We begin to say, and some of you may have a father, maybe you don't have a father, maybe your father's passed on or whatever, but those of you who have a father and you're close to him, you can understand that. Or maybe you don't have a father that you're close to. That's even more reason to put him first, right? And as we do that, we come and understand what a father means and through the scripture. And then it goes on and it talks about forgiveness. What was the first forgiveness? The says. Forgive us of our sin, right? Because we have to be forgiven of our sin, because if we're in sin, it separates us from the Father.
Yes.
So we have to understand what he's talking about there. And then what is the two commandments Jesus gives us? To love the Lord thy God with what? Our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is?
Love our neighbor as ourselves.
Okay. The next thing he says in his prayer is what? Forgiving
others.
So he's making the point here, actually, the same thing he's saying in the commandment through this prayer. And if you take and break that down. And the last word we're going to talk about is the temptation. Now, this twists some people up a lot of times. Whoa, what are you talking about? I don't know. Don't that contradict God? If God's a good God, why does lead us not into temptation? Anybody ever thought about that? Well, this word temptation is like, it comes from a couple words out in the Greek. To crave or be hungry for either putting to proof either good or bad.
Curiosity.
Yes. And when I looked that up a little bit more, periazo, I'm glad you could say it. It's like to tempt, but listen to what it says over this in Matthew. I had a commentary here, and I want to read that. Temptation is made up of the basic word peria, experience. And when God is the one who leads his people into temptation, even as the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted, Matthew 4 over there, everybody knows that the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted in Matthew 4, 1 through 11 there. It's for the purpose of proving to his child that when God leads to temptation, he does not abandon him. But he is with him to give him the victory and to make him more experienced in warfare against the devil. You see, what we see as temptation, God sees it totally different. He sees it as a way to get us to where we need to be. And sometimes in our life. And in our focus in the carnal, we're looking at it as temptation in other ways. Like some of our addictions and other things, we're tempted for this and that. But God's saying, well, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, it's like you just throw Job under the bus, didn't he? But he really wasn't. See what I'm saying? He knew he had plans for Job in that situation. Same as Jesus. Jesus had to go and be tempted because what? All humanity had to fall in line with Jesus, right? Every believer, everyone that would come to Christ has to go through things in their life. Temptations, trials, and all these things. So, in other words, that temptation is God is leading me to that place so that I'll be stronger, so that I'll come through this, and the devil is defeated. Okay? So it makes that a place of victory, really. And it don't make it like God is a bad God and he's leading me over here to be defeated or anything. Because, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and you'll find the answer. It comes on over here in Luke as we're going over here in 13. In Luke 11:13, that's going to be our scripture to really get into. Let's read what Jesus begins to speak here in 5 as a parable, is what they're called. The rest of these scriptures here in Luke 11:5. So it goes on, it says, he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed.
I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. See that? That word persistence. Now listen, this is the key it goes into. And he says, then I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now let me stop there for a minute. So, what is this talking about right here? Anybody, what did you get out of that?
Well, the disciples asked, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus gave them a format, the idea of things to pray about. But I think here he's saying, when you pray, think of God as the person who has the loaves of bread. And because of the persistence, keep asking whatever it is you need. I never saw this before. It's a great point. Keep asking, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking.
Be persistent.
Be persistent. Wow.
So, is that a lack of faith? It's not a great question.
Is persisting or to keep asking?
Yeah, keep asking, because he just said, you know, give you the prayer.
Remember, if anything that is not of faith is sin, everything we're supposed to do. So when we're praying and we're doubting, it means we've got to keep going back and going back because we're not praying in faith. But when we pray in faith, we're really feeding our faith over and over again by praying and saying, God, I thank you that you are going to do this. Father, I thank you that you're going to meet this need. I thank you that you're going to save this person. It is more praying and thanking him in faith that it's already done.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, because I can doubt a lot. I start thanking you for the money before I even make it. I'm praying for. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Listen to what this commentary here says. He says, when someone comes to him at midnight and asks for bread, he cannot remain indifferent. He says, the traveler symbolizes the sinner. And the one to whom he goes is the believer. The believer may not have what it takes to satisfy the need of his visitor, but he can always go to others who, being motivated by God, may meet the need. The Lord spoke this parable to teach us that we should earnestly pray on behalf of others and their needs. See the difference now? On behalf of their needs. God wants to satisfy those prayers through us and give us the joy of being intercessors for others.
Wow.
Don't we say it all the time? What is love?
Giving of ourselves
for the benefit of others. Aren't we so self-focused though most of the time?
Yeah.
When we're asking for ourselves. When we're asking for for things that please us. He didn't want to wake up, did he? He didn't want to wake up.
Yeah,
you know, he'd get up out of bed. Oh, man. Where's that penny again? Want some bread.
self-centered. But when he took his focus off, when the guy was just kept, Billy! Eventually you're going to get up. So God's the parables want us, Jesus showing us that, you know, it's that same thing. When a brother asks if you're giving to him, when he asks you to walk a mile with him, walk two with him. You know? It's not about us. It's about His kingdom. It's about His kingdom. It's about those who are lost, those who are hungry, those who are in need. Because He's going to supply all our needs anyway. As believers, if we have the faith, we already have the bread. So why not give it to somebody who's hungry? Okay? Don't that make more sense? So, and let me read a little further. Now, suppose one of you, fathers, is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked of an egg, will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what?
The
Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Now keep that in mind. That's going to be our key scripture right there, 13. Matthew 6:31-34 says, therefore take no thought, saying what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall be clothed with. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. What does that mean? The Gentiles seek. Who did Jesus come for?
The Jews.
Who were the Gentiles at that time?
Non-Jews.
Heathens. They were non-Jews. They were the tribes. They're over there. Okay? So, evil, remember, they're the evil ones. In that. So, he's saying, so, for after these things, the Gentiles seek, which is like a metaphor for the lost, okay? The lost, the carnal world around you seeks everything but what he's talking about, all right? And then he goes on, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all things, but seek you first what?
The kingdom
of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. See what we were talking about, and this goes together, the kingdom of God. When we think about the kingdom of God, it's what? It's the believers. It's everyone out there. It's a kingdom. We're seeking that kingdom, but in that kingdom is what? A king.
Yeah.
We're seeking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all His righteousness. In His righteousness, which is what? Righteousness is what?
Being right standing with God.
Right standing with God. When we're in right standing with God, everything we need is provided.
Yeah.
Everything we need is provided.
Yeah.
Now, He didn't say He's going to give you everything you want, does He? Oh, and that's not the same kind of persistent prayer. You can keep praying that and praying that. I'm praying I'm going to get $1 million. You know, I'm going to get $1 million. If it ain't in God's will, then you can keep praying till the cows come home. That ain't going to happen, right? But if it's in the will of God and His plan and purpose for your life or the kingdom, you can count it done. Daddy God got it for you. It's coming. You got faith to believe it and you claim it in Jesus' name, then it shall be. So, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Added to you, not given, not taken away. It's added to you. Alright? Some people think God takes things away from them. God don't do that. He gives us the desires of our heart.
You know? So we got to keep that in mind. God wants you to understand that He wants... His will is that you have everything that He wants to bless you with that is in His will and in His kingdom purpose for life.
He will give you everything that pertains to life.
That's right. Absolutely. But it proves from Jesus' word here that the Father cares for His own. He cares for us like a father and a baby. Every need that is met, the baby needs, He's going to provide. And God wants us to understand. Jesus is trying to teach it here in this prayer and about asking and being persistent. It's like a baby. What does a baby do until it learns that it's not going to get what it wants? Right?
Give me.
Well, there's a different type of persistence here is what He's trying to teach them. All right? And in another translation, it says, "Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow." Oh my goodness, that word anxious. I've dealt with the anxieties. Anybody else beside me? And what does that lead to? Oh, a miserable life, stress, taking years off our life. Things that we can't control anyway, we're trying to control. We get anxious. Anxieties. Where's all that come from? Sometimes fear, right? One of the key things. Fear that there's something missing. Well, we got to understand, though, it's all provided. We got to get the mindset that Father God, He has it all. It says in the Bible, He owns what?
Cattle on a thousand
hills. Praise God. I know that's an analogy, but that's a lot of cattle, right? All right, now... Today's passage, God said, have no worries, no frets, no anxieties, don't be anxious, because I'm your Heavenly Father, and I know what's right for you. And He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added. And God wants us to consider Him first always. Always in our life. How many know that a lot of times we see something or we think we need something, what is the first thing we do? We just act on it.
Impulse
fire.
Instant gratification.
Yeah.
Especially
these days.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're carnal. I mean, and we're going to instantly want what the carnal wants, right? The flesh is in control in that situation, and that's why credit cards is one of you get involved and next thing you know you build on something. You ain't building a house on the rock, you're building it on the sand, because one day you're gonna have to pay off that credit card, right? So instant gratification, boy, it's fun right then. It's the same thing with drugs, alcohol, any sex addiction, anything in our life, that instant gratification. But God says, I've got something for you that's solid.
Yeah.
I've got something that you can stand on that's everlasting.
Eternal.
I've got something eternal purpose and plan for you. And I've got something that's going to get you there, and you can be happy and content if you trust me in all my righteousness. And guess what? I've got a kingdom house for you. I've got everything laid up and stored up aside. And Jesus told him, He said, and in my eye, when I go to the Father, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
Amen? And so in His Father's, where His kingdom is, there's many mansions.
Yes.
Guess what? I'm ready. One of these days, I'm going to get my mansion. How about you? Amen? So God wants us to consider Him first. Jesus' teaching here in Luke gives us an outline prayer of which reaches out and gets the Father's attention. I thought about this. And I was thinking, well, I wonder if Jesus, it said, starts out, He's over there praying. I wonder if He is over there, Father in heaven. Nah, He was probably over there just talking to God, not we're talking, right? Well, this. What you do? What you up to? How you been? I've been worried about it. I just think Jesus and
Daddy God had a relationship. What if we got that close to him? We put him in a box, don't we? Jesus, I can see him over there just sitting there. But even when he knew he had to go to the cross, what did he do? He went and prayed. He had to seek the Father. He was at the point of sweat and blood. So, man, I picture in my mind, well, this is what he told the disciples, and he broke that down. So that prayer leads us into a place of putting him first, making sure we're right standing with him, with our sins, with everything. And then we're coming in with a relationship with him. And in that relationship with him, we're realizing even if I go through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil because he goes with me. He's with me, and no matter what I'm going through in life, he's going to be with me. So, I don't know, I just got to, just in my mind, picture, Lord, I want to be that close to you. Me and my dad's pretty close, but I could be closer with him, but we're not always together. But the cool thing about God is he loved us so much that he made a way that he can be with us all the time.
Amen.
All the time.
Come on.
But what we do is we put him in a box and we just pull him out when we need him.
Yes.
And we're asking about when we need things, then we say, oh, Daddy, Father, God, we're praying. God's wanting us to, like Paul said, I pray in tongues all day long. He said, I'm going, and he's talking to him all the time. You got to get in a place where, in a relationship where everything, I mean, you don't want to go around just out loud talking to people. They might grab you and put you in a psychiatric ward or something. I don't know. John the Baptist did, I think. He thought he was crazy, right? But what is his disciples asking from the get-go? Teach us how to pray like John. John was a praying man.
Yeah.
Some of them thought he was the Messiah till he got beheaded. So, anyway, I don't want to run no more rabbits on that, but Paul's speaking in Philippians 3. Listen to what he says right here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. I like that. I hadn't really paid attention to that before until I read that Paul done told them once. Evidently, that's why he's telling them again. It ain't no big deal to me. I'll tell you all over again. Because he says, it's a safeguard for you. So he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. What is that? And still trying to live by the law.
Yep.
We're now in grace, right?
Yes.
The new circumcision, the new covenant is what? The circumcision of the heart. Okay? Not the circumcision of the old covenant. Okay? So he's telling them that. For we are the true circumcision. We're the true believers. The true men and women of God who our hearts, we've given our heart to Jesus through Christ. And he says, who worships in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Gosh, we got to learn that our flesh is going to get us in trouble every time.
Amen.
Every time. It's going to lead us down the wrong path. And what we need is to be walking in the Spirit all the time. All the time. That brings me to my point, what he says, God promised His Holy Spirit to create faith in the heart of every humble believer. Turn over to John 14, 12 and 17. I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon. John 14, 12 and 17. When you're there, say amen.
Amen. John 14, verse 12 and verse 17.
12 through 17. Okay, here's Jesus again. He's talking about oneness with the Father. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Whoa. He's saying the same thing that he did, anybody that believes in him can do also. And greater works, then he says, than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask, there's that word again, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What was his commandments? We spoke of them earlier, right? God gives his Holy Spirit to them to ask him in the name of Jesus. And it's not what God the Father gives us that we need to focus on in our lives, but rather what he gives us through the Holy Spirit that makes the difference above everything else. Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit is the key to everything. He is the key to everything. That's why he told him in Luke 11:13, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give you what? Think back. Give you the Holy Spirit. Getting this? When we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything. All our needs are met through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he empowers us. He empowers us through the Holy Spirit. We can hear God. We can be in communion with God. We have a relationship with God. He leads us into what? Truth, right? Understanding. Into knowledge and everything else. So the power lies there in Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now I want you to look at one thing, this word ask, okay? In this translation here, it's the same Greek word, and I'm not even going to, I may try to, A-I-T-E-O. It's ateo. Sound good? This word here is the same word in 14:14 as in Luke 11:9, and it means to request. Now look with me right here at 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Now that word ask here, now get this, this word ask here is different than the ask up here. And this word here breaks down E-R-O-T-A-E, eroto, probably wrong, but it means to ask between equals. Between equals. When Jesus comes on the scene, he's right there, it says in the Bible. Paul said, he's at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
He's interceding for you and me. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he's asking his daddy as an equal.
Yes.
Glory to God. He can't deny himself. God can't deny himself. When Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus is trying to tell him. And the Holy Spirit is what? He's an equal part too. He's an equal part too. Oh, get that. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the key, I hate to say to our success, but is the key to our walk with God and trusting and having faith and receiving and through having the relationship with Jesus. He leads us, and it says in like those scriptures that greater things can we do only because Jesus couldn't be everywhere. He was sent to the Jews. The Holy Spirit went, and after Jesus went to the Father, the Holy Spirit come to live in all of us. Everyone who asks and believes that Jesus was the Son of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit lives within. And now we have an advocate with the Father. And now He lives inside of us. He empowers us to do things that Jesus couldn't do. Now, there has been cases of people laying hands on people and they've been raised from the dead. You don't hear about them. The world don't talk about them. There has been cases, there's cases all the time of people being healed. Faith is faith. But going back to our scripture there, we've got to come out from under the evil mindset, as it says in Luke 11, the evil mindset of that evil being set apart from God and trying to live our own life without Him. And when we do that and we come in relationship with Him as Father, then all the things that we need, all the things in our life, He blesses us with. And if we ask Him, if we pray to Him the way Jesus said, if we're putting Him first, He's like a father. He said, okay, if you come to Him humbly like a little child, He's a good father. He wants to give us the desire to come. So today I want us to think about this, and I want us to think about how much God loves us and where's our level of love back to Him. It says in Matthew 18:3, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty big, bold statement, ain't it? Come as a little child. A childlike faith. Persistent. A child, boy, that'll wear you out, won't it?
Amen.
3-year-old
without a little
bit,
it'll wear you out.
Some of you probably going to see some babies or some kids today, and they're going to wear you out, and then you go home. Whew. Some of us will say, well, I'm glad they ain't going home with their mama. That's grandparents, right? What if we just that? But you love it, don't you? Oh, wouldn't trade nothing for it. Take God out of the box today. Take Father God, Daddy God, Abba, Father, Daddy God. Let's take Him out of the box today. Let's get close enough to Him that we hear Him. You know, we're always giving, praying, God, asking God, can you hear Him, though? Is He speaking to you? We might not be going, hear right. In the Holy Spirit. Yeah, baby. You know, you stuck your toe. It's going to be alright. Boy, when He wraps His arms around you and He starts loving on you like that, you feel His presence like we did in worship a while ago. Man, they ain't nothing better. They ain't no drug out there, no high. They ain't nothing in your life can get come with that. I'm telling you, you understand that there's something eternal love there. That no man, no woman, nobody could feel that spot in your heart. when you get to that point, you humbly come as a little child and you cry before the Lord knowing your need for Him and say, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by your grace, Lord, and I thank you, merciful God, because you love me that much. Oh, we got to get to there. When we get to there, man, we don't worry. We don't have anxiety. We don't have fears, doubts. Man, we have peace. And peace that passes all understanding. Can I get a big old amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, give us like this childlike spirit. Help us to be full of faith and trust and the assurance of your love. Come on, everybody, I want you to just focus on Him right now. Nobody around you. Close your eyes and just focus on Him. I wrote this down. And you don't have to pray it out loud, but I want us to pray this together. Father, I don't want to worry about what I shall eat or drink or what I shall wear. Father God, I know I have needs of a lot of things, but I want to trust you. I now realize to be content means to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and then you add all these things to me. No matter what my flesh might want, my spirit and my soul as a child of the Most High God, I will always prosper, and I have freedom in the fact that my Father in Heaven, you have treasures beyond anything this world has to offer, and happiness and joy that I am free in the Holy Spirit to seek anything in Jesus' name. And Father, change our hearts. Lord, may we turn to you as the Father of all our needs and even our wants. But trusting that you will make a way for all things, for our bodies, our families, our jobs, everything in our life. Lord, if there's one here today that needs to surrender something to you, then try to carry it on your own. God says, give it up right now. Let me do that. If that's you, give it to God. I felt that in my spirit. Somebody's been trying to carry something. Your shoulders ain't big enough. His is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Need special prayer today, I'd love to pray with you. I don't know where you're at, if your heart's heavy or God's still in the healing business. He's still in the deliverance business. He wants to meet all your needs. But if sin's in your life, you're separated from God. First step is repentance. It's not just enough to believe. The Bible says even the demons, the devils, they believe and they tremble because they know where they're going. Do you know where you're going? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that your Father in Heaven has a place prepared for you? That's between you and Him right now. But I'd be willing to pray with anybody, give you Scripture. If you don't know the Lord, today you can. The other night at jail, I don't know, God gave me a bold word. This whole thing of being shy about coming to Christ is, God ain't happy with it. Let's just say that. Because the fact it says if you deny Him, before the Father, he'll deny you. And I said, with every eye open and every head up, if you don't know Jesus right now, I'm asking you, do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Two didn't know. I said, well, you can know. And then I said, suppose you were standing before God right now. It was your time. What do you think your answer would be when he said, why should I let you into my heaven? If it ain't because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, then guess what? You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. It's not enough to know and believe in, you can believe in God all you want. There's many gods, little G's, but there's only one big G. And the only way to Him is through Jesus. So, I don't know. If you want to know Jesus today, if you hadn't surrendered all to Him, come on up. I'll pray with you. If anybody wants prayer. And if anybody wants prayer for anything else, would love to pray with you or for you. Open. This altar is open. Let's just pray one more time. Father, have your way. Have your way, Lord. And thank you, God, that you love us. And that, God, you have plans for us. I felt like the Lord wanted me to close with this. You're mine. 29. Everybody knows one scripture, right? What's that? 11? Let me just go back to 10, because this is a thus saith the Lord moment. Thus saith the Lord, when 70 years have been completed from Babylon, he's talking about the captives in Babylon. You go back to this place, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I mean, like future of hope. And we don't go no further usually, but listen to this. He said, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. You know where he had driven them? They've been in war. In a temptation place, right? Restoration of God. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you in exile. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. For thus saith the Lord concerning the kings and the throne of David, and concerning all people who dwell in the city. God will do whatever he has to do to get his people back to him. Ain't you glad, oh, he loves us that much? Amen.